Welcome to Futureproof, the marketing podcast from Kantar, the world's leading marketing data and analytics company, and Side Business School, University of Oxford. In each episode, we speak with marketing leaders and share insights to help brands and business leaders navigate the ever-changing marketing landscape and hopefully dispel some myths and misconceptions along the way.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
So our guests today are Søren Christiansen, who's partner and strategy director at Robert Boysen and Like Minded. We have Jan Vendelbo, who's managing director at Spies and country director for the Nordic Leisure Travel Group. And last but not least, Vera Sidlova, who's global creative thought leadership director at Kantar. And in addition, I thought today we would just introduce a dog, because that is part of the topic of what we're going to be talking about. And this is my dog, Zoe, who's looking very happy in a cafe there. So what we're going to be talking about today is a really great award-winning campaign that all of you have been involved in some shape or form. So I'm going to ask you briefly to introduce yourselves, first of all. So let's start with you, Søren. Tell us a bit about what you do.
Yeah, my name is Søren. As you said, I'm a strategy director at an agency based in Copenhagen, and I mainly work with developing a brand strategy for various both Danish and international brands. And I have been working together actually with Jan for a very long time, since 2004. So we worked with Spies for 20 years now, so we have quite a long history together.
Great. And Jan, tell us a bit about your role or your roles.
Yes, I work in the travel industry and managing director for Denmark, for Spies in Denmark, which is the largest tour operator in Denmark, founded in 1956 and actually a part of the Danish, you can say everybody in Denmark knows this company. Because of it has been there for many years, and we were very famous actually for our marketing campaigns in Denmark, helped by Søren, of course, for many years. And as well, Spies is part of Nordic Leisure Travel Group, which is the largest travel group in the Nordics. And I as well there is as director of country management for the four countries there. So we work together cross borders with campaigns and everything. So. That's why Dogcation was running in the four Nordic countries.
Fantastic. And we'll talk about Dogcation in a minute and we'll explain what it means. Vera, tell us a bit about what you do at Kantar.
So I work in creative thought leadership, looking at what makes effective creative effective. And most recently, I authored a report on FE Europe winners. And surprise, surprise, Dogcation brought two medals home. And I was really inspired by this campaign. We included it in our analysis of 200 FE Europe winning ads. And that's why we've invited Søren and Jan to come and tell us a little bit more about the secret behind why that particular idea and executions connected to it worked in market.
Fantastic. So Soren, first of all, briefly describe the campaign. Obviously, this is a podcast. We have video, yeah. But just bring it to life a little bit, where it was, where it ran, what it looks like.
Yeah. Basically, I think I'll just take a little step back in order to explain how this came up, because we did some campaigns that made quite a lot of fuss back in. We started in the period from 2016 till I think, or 2000, maybe 14 to 16, 17. We made three campaigns under called Do It for Denmark, which was about getting people out traveling so they could actually have sex. was the main idea, because Denmark had a very low population, so we wanted to help supporting that. So we found an insight that if you are on holiday, you would actually have more sex. So those campaigns were around this theme. So basically, we used a lot of humor, and we used interesting ways to storytell this but we took up a problem that was maybe bigger than just going on a holiday in order to cut through all this travel advertising. So we learned a lot from those campaigns. And then back in 2018, we wanted to do something new. We want to make an activation that could ultimately sell a lot of trips for Jan. And what we looked into the target group, we are inside the agency, we are all pet owners, and we discovered that there was this sort of insight. We could all recognize that if you're going on a holiday, one, you're very worried about your pet while leaving, because it's almost like a child for people. So we thought, and a lot of people think, if they have to leave their dog behind, it's almost like putting them into prison, so that became sort of the creative hook in this campaign, was that what if we could we are experts in making people thrive on pieces, or make people thrive on their vacations. What if we could make an equally nice vacation for the dog? So that was sort of the hook, that you could enter a competition, and then you could win at not only a trip for yourself, but you could win a trip that was about the same with all the same luxury that people on a beach vacation would experience. You would experience the same on the dog would experience the same, and we called it Dogcation. And it's basically, it was communicated through a film that is about 2 minutes long, where we showcase a lot of, for instance, you showcase people having a massage on the holiday. Then you see a dog getting a massage. Then you see people eating a really nice dinner. Then you see the dog eating a really nice dinner, and so on. We have a lot of clips like that. And as part of this, we said, because only one person in each country could actually win this dogcation, so what about everybody else? So we invented a voucher that you could use to give to people that would then maybe, because that's what people do a lot. If they have to go somewhere, they ask friends, could you take care of my dog? And then the idea was you could give them the voucher instead. And that was basically a discount mechanism we built into the campaign, and which also drove a lot of the sales that we can maybe talk a little about later. So that was basically it. Yeah.
Great. Well, your job sounds really fun, doesn't it? That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. So, Jan, let's talk a bit about the business context for this campaign, because obviously, you know, the last few years have been challenging for the travel industry. You know, some travel companies have gone bankrupt, and obviously we had the COVID-19 pandemic. So just describe a little bit of the context behind it for us.
Yes, it's actually quite an interesting story, because as Thomas said, we started the development of this campaign in 2017-18. And at that time, we belonged to the Thomas Cook Group, the English company. And at that time, there was really, really difficult problems in Thomas Cook Group, financial problems. But for us in the Nordics, actually, things were going really great. We had solid results and everything was going the right way. But as you know, if you're a part of a big group having problems, it kind of affect you as well. So when we have actually produced, we were more or less ready to launch this Dockasion campaign in the Nordics, things really started to get very problematic in UK. And it ended up with that the CEO of the group more or less paused all marketing in UK, no marketing at all. We save the money, we can't afford marketing. And as everybody knows, this is a really bad idea if you want to sell something, but that was where we were. And then for us in the Nordics, said, okay, we have some dogs we want to let out, a campaign, dogs running around. Said, okay, if we're going to do that now, we're going to get fired, all of us, because it's going to be like an explosive if we do the campaign. So we said no, we had to pause the campaign and not launch it as planned. And what happened then was, as everybody know, Thomas Cook went bankruptcy in 19, and at that time, of course, we were really, really nervous as well, because we were part of that company, but we survived, new owners, and that is Nordic Leisure Travel Group in today. So when we were back up with new owners, called CERN and said, now, with a little delay, we can go. After some conversation, we started to look at it again, because we have changed logo and we have changed our graphic identity. So we had to fix something with quite a lot with the film. And then we were ready to go again. And then started to come up something about a virus in China, and then the pandemic came, and then we had to pause it again. And I think at that time, you down with your officer and was just crying, and I was sitting like, my God, it's never going to come out, this fantastic campaign. And we almost gave it up. But I had one thing that actually kept me going during the pandemic. It was that I have to have this out, this location, because we saw the potential in this campaign. It was really something special. We were quite sure would really impact on the market. And then at last we succeeded, and it became the success we have expected, even better. Maybe we come back to that, but we have always seen that our campaigns, we always try to combine the branding and the tactical in the same. And that was, we thought the location was really, really excellent.
Yeah, we'll come on to that, because actually our recent work, a big meta-analysis we did on effective creative campaigns, showed that the most creative and effective ads actually generate four times as much profit. So Vera, can you just briefly describe what we did to prove that point?
Yeah, we partnered with Work, and we took a look at their ROI database, which, you know, shows the in-market effects that campaigns have had, and there are kind of these holistic case studies. And what we did is that we matched it to our Link database. So Link is our ad testing solution, and Link actually captures the creative quality, so how good that particular ad is in driving short or long-term effects for the brand. And when we matched those two data sets, what came out really clearly is what Jane just said, is that high quality creative compared to low quality creative generates four times the return on marketing investment. And maybe I don't want to steal Jane's thunder here, but what I found really interesting about the FE case you've submitted is the in-market effects this campaign had. So could you tell us a little bit more about what you went into it with? Like, what did you want to achieve with this campaign? Was that the goal from the start? Were you looking at return on marketing investment from the get-go, or was it just a nice, oh, this worked out at the end?
No, it was actually both. Because as CERN started with describing was that we have had this, we have tested during many years different models, what worked for us. And then we launched the Do It for Denmark Trilogy. And it was, you know, like a huge success. Then we continue to building on that, because when we do these campaigns, we have two objectives. We want to build our base, the base for the brand, and at the other, we want to sell at the same time, sell holidays. Mm-hmm. So it's we always focus on combining these two, and have we saw with the Do It for Denmark, we learned a lot, and then the Dockation was actually the ultimate test on is this going to work, and so that's actually our the purpose was to get this this out and continue to building on our brand, and especially in Denmark we have been famous for doing this thing, so it's important for us to build this base that we are still our DNA it's in the speech DNA communication, you can say, what we do. And of course, we have worked 20 years with Robert Boysen and Søren, so we have really learned to know each other, what to do and what not to do. And this campaign was, in a way, also a start of the post-pandemic. Mm. The new, now we really have to start, things are looking bright again, we can start living, we can start traveling. So, you know, like humor is a very good thing there, that everybody have been locked up for I don't know how long. Now they could smile and they could relate to these dogs running around. And we even combined in the film, as you maybe have seen, it was not only dogs. You could always participate if you had a cat or something else, mm-hmm. parrot or something. So we always try to do it with a little humor.
Let's talk a little bit more about humor, actually. So we've been talking about this at Kantar for quite some time. Like, humor is really important in advertising and people are more receptive to it. And we know from some of the work that Vera's done that FE, Silver and Gold winners actually score 12 percentile points more on enjoyment. So it's a key driver for effective advertising. Søren, let's talk a little bit more about humor and how you approach that in the Dogcation campaign.
Yeah, I think as Jan was talking about, we've been doing these speech campaigns for many years, and humor has always been part of it. I think if you look about what a holiday is really about, it is also about enjoyment and having fun with your families or your friends or whatever. So it connects naturally to the category as well. Obviously, and then within the sort of brands that are operating in this category, some have more maybe emotional ways to do it, but we are known for humor, so it's almost like people would expect us to do that. So that's one thing. And another thing, but I think that's maybe more overall, we've been looking a lot to what's going on in Cannes, for instance, and we think that brands tend to be too serious, to be honest. There's also a market for smiles and for humor, as Jan was talking about, especially post-pandemic. And that's a lot of other not so good stuff going on around the world, especially right now. And I think people are looking for breaks when they spend their time, and humor is a way where you can maybe just make people smile a little and not worry so much. So I think that connects really naturally to a travel brand. I think that's maybe a way to look at it.
So Vera, tell us a bit about Link Plus and how we actually capture enjoyment and humor.
So in Link Plus, we have various methods to capture this. I would say we've got our key measure, which we've mentioned, which is enjoyment, so how enjoyable that ad was overall and whether people would like to watch it again. But then we've got some diagnostics to help us unpack why something was or wasn't enjoyable. We've got a question on humor, which kind of separates whether it made people laugh out loud or whether they just kind of made them chuckle a little bit. Kind of that helps us get at the kind of humor, or whether they didn't find it funny at all, even though it was intended. And then we also use some fabulous emotion AI technology, which helps us encode how people are feeling as they watch the ad. And so we were able to see like whether smiles are going up and at which moments. And sometimes we've helped clients kind of fix the delivery of certain elements so that the humor works once the ad is on air. So there might have been some executional tweaks which were blocking the joke from being received. Yeah. And we were able to kind of find that out really early on so that it got optimized before actually people seeing got to see it either on TV or online.
Great. So let's talk a bit about consistency, campaign consistency. You've all mentioned, you know, the previous campaigns that have been run for Spies. So according to our ad database, campaign consistency does actually lead to stronger branding. Consistency doesn't mean run the same thing all the time, over and over again, of course. So let's start with you, Soren, on this. How does the Dogcation campaign fit in with the previous campaigns that you've done? The Do It for Denmark, for example. I mean, on the face of it, they both seem entertaining in some way, but they're making a serious point as well. So how do you view that?
I think... We talk a lot about in the agency, so we use the term fresh consistency, which is all about that we want some people should be able to recognize the brand really fast, but people are also all the time looking for something new and fresh and a new take on things. I think what ties the communication together we've done for Speech the last few years is that there's a tonality that ties it together. Humor is used, as we just talked about, so that's one thing. But then also that we sort of tapped into different emotional problems. In the first one, we took the low birth rates in Denmark, and we make campaigns out of that. When we did the first one, just to explain that, the first Do It for Denmark, we didn't know it was going to be a trilogy. We didn't know it was going to be a 3-year campaign, but it really succeeded. And then it's somebody. I heard people saying, if you have a tiger, then catch on to its tail and hang on. and that's basically what we did with the Do It for Denmark. We said, okay. That really worked. The first year we focused on city trips. So we said, okay, could we put another product in? So we focused on active holidays in the second one. And in the third one, we focused on really high-end luxury holidays. So we got to showcase the sort of full assortment of Spies, but in the same world. And then so what we took out of that was, as Jan talked about, this mix of branding and activation worked really well. We had the tonality, and we had a platform where we could showcase the product in a fun way. So that's all building blocks we brought into the Dogcation campaign as well, but executed on a new problem that was maybe that's how why it worked. It was very close to the target group. I think we did a big analysis, and it's I can't remember. It's 74%. I think that considers their pets as important as their kids in the family. So that's an amazing statistic. and then we knew we had an emotional hook. That would work really well also in creating a campaign engagement and sharing and all the other metrics we are looking for when we create campaigns.
And I guess despite the disappointment and not being able to run the campaign pre-pandemic, Jan, you know, there was an increase in the incidence of dog ownership during the pandemic in many markets. So actually, you know, the timing in the end probably was fairly good from your point of view, wasn't it, Jan?
Yes, it was. We got an extra plus. Everybody wanted a dog or a pet during the pandemic. Mm. So, but we were a little bit low about communicating that because it came up after the pandemic. Many have bought a dog and then they couldn't really take care of it when they went back to normal life. So it was a little bit in media. So we played that one down. Mm. But Otherwise, of course, but there is so many people having dogs, so it was no really problem. It was actually the same situation as when we invented the campaign.
Yeah.
After the name. So
yeah. So the good thing is that to drive growth, obviously, you need to reach more people and predispose more people. So this was going with that. So I'm just going to end, Jan, with a question for you, which is about the travel industry's future. You know, we've spoken about some of the challenges you've had in recent years. What are the challenges that you think are coming up and the implications and what it means for consumers and how they perceive their holidays?
We live in a very special world right now, I think. And for the travel industry, we always get hit when things happening out of our controls. And right now, you know, we have a war in Europe, we have the problems in Gaza, we have the whole the issue with the environment. Of course, we fly, so we have to take care of that issue as well. And we have seen now quite a few natural disasters, you know, like the fires in Rhodes last year. And all that, and then on top of that, we have a situation with high inflation, interest rates are going up. So what is quite exciting to see is that normally when you're in a situation where the economy is really challenging for families and for people who want to go on holiday, normally that is something of the first you cut out because you have to save. But that's completely different now. It's really prioritized to go on a holiday. So it's good, for our business. And then, of course, you can ask yourself the question, why is it that people are even more now willing to go on holiday and they don't buy a new car or a new kitchen or do any renovation? They want to go on holiday. And I think it's because partly connected to the world we live in, I think we more than ever maybe need, you know, something that really creates well-being. You need to go away, you need to be with the family and come out and have nice experience. So for us in the travel industry, we have to handle all the things we have to handle, especially around the ESG area with the environment and things like that. We have to focus on that, which we have, and then we just have to deliver fantastic holidays. And so that's more or less.
Yeah.
We can't really, with the interest rate or the inflation and the wars going on, we can't do anything about that. But we can make sure we can give people that smile.
Yeah. So you do what you can control effectively. And Soren, let's just ask you this question as well. With all of these global issues going on, obviously your work is informed by, you know, insights and research, but it also has to tap into culture. So what are the kind of cultural trends that you see influence your campaigns generally that you're working on going forwards?
When you're doing what we do, it's competing with a lot of other content.
Yeah.
And it's not only advertising and people are spending their time looking at a lot of other dog clips on the internet, yeah. That's for sure. So there's so much content out there, and that's, of course, something we look into as an agency. Also, I was just at a conference last month where I heard was a stat, I think it was a bit exaggerated, but they said 90% of all content would be AI generated in 25 already. So if you look into this world of content, it's definitely sure we will not have less content, we will have much more content. And the only thing that is also sure is that people will not have more time. So we are all fighting for people's time, and I think we use creativity in order to cut through, but we have all the time we need to work about how can we make stuff memorable and ultimately also construct it in a way so it drives sales. So it's about tying these things together. But I saw another study from Dentsu here in Denmark where they found out that I think it's one out of 400 ads that people can actually remember, and that's a scary number. So obviously, where the world is heading, creativity and making things stand out will be even more important, I think, when everybody can produce video in a very short time.
You've been listening to Future Proof from Kantar and Side Business School. For all episodes and more information, visit kantar.com or oxfordfutureofmarketing.com. If you enjoyed this, please leave a rating and a review and subscribe on your favourite podcast app so you never miss an episode.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.